We at the First Pentecostal Church of God would like to thank you for taking the time to listen to the message that God has revealed to our church. We are praying for this message to encourage you and strengthen you for His service. May God richly bless you as you listen.
A refuge from the Avenger of Blood. This week, the enemy's been attacking. I said he's been attacking. He's been attacking you. He's been attacking me. He's been attacking all the churches that preach the truth of His Word. Now, there's a special attack going on right now amongst our body in this church. And it's a special attack because of the glory of God that came down in camp meeting. The enemy wants to steal what God has done. He wants to destroy the working of God in your life. I've heard for many years, and many people have actually said it, good Pentecostal people have said, the enemy does not have teeth. He just roars. I guess they've not been bitten like I have. You know, I guess they don't know that the enemy has a way of trying to defeat us, and he's real good at it. He's had a lot of practice through the years. And I know that maybe, and I understand what these good people are saying, the enemy can't kill you with his bite, but he sure pushes you to the line, don't he? And the enemy knows how to get in and cause rift. Think about it for a moment. If the enemy don't have teeth, what in the world do we have? How in the world did we get the story of Job? The enemy's got teeth, church. He stole his children. He stole his finances. He had his wife backslid. He's got three friends that can't stand him and call him an unworthy man. But even in all these things, Job said, though God slay me, yet will I trust him. Yes, the enemy has teeth. Yes, he can fight. And yes, he is attacking, and he will attack you because he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. If the enemy doesn't have teeth, why did Elijah sit under a juniper tree and say, God, why don't you just kill me? Come on. That's what he said. I'm the only one, God. I'm the only one standing for you. No one else is. Nobody else is working for you. Here I am trying to work for you. And Jezebel, that devil, says he's going to kill me. And I'm underneath the juniper tree and I'm saying, God, just kill me now. It's over. Don't act like you've never been in those places, okay? You all super spiritual saints in here of the living God, you've never been there. But that's exactly where Elijah was, because the enemy had pushed him there. The enemy had got him to a place where he felt like he could not continue, like he was worthless, like everything he had done was for naught. And I know that every single one of us have been there, and some of you might even be right there this morning. Oh yeah, the enemy's got teeth. Otherwise, Jeremiah wouldn't have had a problem. But he actually told God he's quitting. He said, I quit. I'm done preaching for you. It's brought me nothing but pain. It's brought me misery. These people hate me. They throw me in pits. They talk evil about me. They can't stand me. I quit. It wasn't until the fire in his bones began to burn that he said, okay, I got to keep going. I gotta keep going. But what pushes a man there is nothing more than the very attacks that the enemy comes at you with. And he's pushing you, some of you, to the very brink of quitting. Some of you to the very brink of laying it down. Some of you to the brink of breaking apart. He's pushing you, and he's pushing you, and he's pushing you, and he's roaring in your life. He's roaring in your family's lives. He's roaring, and he wants to destroy you. He wants to kill you. But I want to tell you that God has made refuges for those that the Avenger of Blood has been seeking. Oh, preacher, you don't know what you're talking about. The enemy, he's not a fighter like that. Then why in the world did Nehemiah build the wall of God with one hand with a sword in the other? Why did he do that? Because he knew that the enemy was coming and he had to be ready for the fight. Listen, church, you got to understand something. The blessings that the Lord has done in your life are rich and wonderful. And the enemy wants to steal those things from you by distracting you and by causing you to fall and causing you to falter. Some of you have made mistakes this past week and you've been beating on yourself. You've been beating yourself up saying, I got to just quit. I should just. Some of you have been in depression this week. Lay it in your bed full of depression this week. And the enemy has been beating on you and condemning you and saying you're worthless, you're worthless, you're worthless. And you've been feeling that way because the enemy's been attacking you. Yeah, some of you are ready to quit right now. Some of you are contemplating giving up. Some of you feel condemned, feel heavy-hearted. You wonder why you go to church anyway. Some of you are wondering why you came this morning. See, the enemy is attacking, wants to steal from you. Everything that God has done in your life, he wants to take it away. The seed that he planted in your heart by the Holy Spirit through camp meeting, he wants to steal it away. The moving of God in your life, he wants to snatch it away. The enemy wants to kill you, wants to destroy you, and you have to recognize this because if you don't, you will surely fall apart. Let me give you some verses, Christian. I want these verses to speak into your soul. Because they are verses of encouragement. Are you ready? If you're falling apart, you need this. If you're on the brink of quitting, you need this. If you've been sitting in depression, you need this. If you're sitting there and you're not right with God, I pray you get right with God because you need this too. Amen? Now listen to this. For 2 Corinthians 4:8 says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Come on now, that's good preaching right there. We are troubled on every side and not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're cast down, but not destroyed. And if that wasn't enough, Moses said in Deuteronomy, he said, the eternal God is thy refuge. Oh, I like that. The eternal God is thy refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy before thee. Oh, how great is our God. If you're weary in your heart, God has made a refuge for you. He has made a refuge for you. Now God set up cities for the children of Israel. He set these cities up for people who were running from the enemy. These cities were set up so that people could find safety before the enemy would kill. Now these cities were set up specifically for someone who accidentally killed somebody. If you accidentally killed somebody, then you would run to one of these cities and you would literally fall upon the mercies of the court. But if the avenger of blood got to you first, it was okay by the law that the avenger kill you before you got to the city. But that's why God set up six cities. Because when you were fleeing, you could be anywhere in Israel, and God put these cities specific in areas so that it was never too far away from someone to flee to. And I could just preach right there all afternoon because the arm of the Lord is not short. And God is not a God that is far off, but he has made a way of escape out of every temptation, out of every trial. Our God has made a way. He's made a refuge for me and you. He's made a refuge for me and you. And it's never too far away. The problem with most people is they don't run to the refuge. My Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it, and they are safe. My Bible says that he is with me, that he'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. He'll never. Listen, I don't know who you've been listening to and actually saying that God is going to ever let you go, because God isn't. You can run away from God, and he'll still chase you down. He'll find you where you are because he loves you, and he's going to bring you to a refuge place. The devil wants to tell you that God hates you, that God is not pleased with you, that God does not want you, and that God would throw you away. But that is not the God of just not the Jehovah God Jesus talked about. That's not the God that Jesus showed us who he was. Jesus ate with publicans and sinners so that we today would know that God loves the people that have not known him. He's come to heal those that are sick, not them that are whole. Now listen, these are places, these cities were places that were set up by God so that people could flee to, people could run to. And each city has a meaning. It's not just a city, but it was strategically planned. It was plotted so that people could find safety. How many need safety this morning in the Lord? Oh, I know you do. You need safety in the Lord. And that's what the cities are for. They're to bring safety in your life. And the first city that God introduces to us is the city of Kadesh. The city of Kadesh literally means sanctum. Literally means sanctum. And what it is it's literally a sacred place for unholy people to go to. It's a holy place for unholy people to go to. It's a place where you would find sacredness even though you don't feel sacred. Oh, man. You are not here this morning. Some of you are sleeping because that was your shouting moment right there. Some of you don't feel sacred this morning. Some of you don't feel set apart this morning. Some of you don't feel holy this morning. And you need to go visit Kadesh, because Kadesh is a refuge in our God for those people who don't feel holy, who don't feel right, who don't feel like they've been walking perfect lives before God. Because God is not going to throw you away, but He's made for you a refuge that you could come to and say, God, I don't feel right, but oh God, you've made this place for me. You've made this place for me. Some of you need sanctum this morning. Some of you need this wonderful, holy place. Sometimes we go to this place and we're reminded on how good He is, and it reminds us on how we really needed Him. Amen? The problem with most Christians is that they think their holiness is based upon what they have done and not what Jesus has done. And their holiness is based upon their dress code, or based upon their moral standards, or based upon who what they say or where they go or where they don't go, and not based upon the fact that Jesus Christ has imputed holiness to every person that has asked Him for forgiveness. And because of that philosophy and that thought, many Christians suffer condemnation from the enemy when they make the slightest mistake and they say, I am not holy like I once was. And what you need is a good old-fashioned visit to the city of Kadesh and realize that God has made a sanctuary for people that don't feel holy, because God is going to give back what you don't have. Oh, we need Kadesh. But then there's Shechem. Shechem's in Ephraim. Shechem's a ridge. That's what it means. It means a ridge. It's an elevated structure to walk along. An elevated structure to walk along. Maybe you're not feeling so elevated right now. Come on. Hold on. Let me do it like Brother Ryan. Come on, somebody. Maybe that'll get you stirred up. Maybe you ain't been walking on ridges right now. Maybe you've been walking in the valleys. Maybe you wore out from the battle. Maybe the stone wall has proven harder to build than you thought it would be. Maybe victory doesn't seem like it's right there like it did the moment you received this touch from God. Maybe you got in the fight and you realized the fight was harder than you thought, and you didn't think you were going to be able to make it. And maybe you feel very low right now. You don't feel elevated in the eyes of God at all. Maybe you're praising Him, but you're praising Him out of routine because you're worried that He doesn't even see or receive your praise. Well, I've got news for you. He does see and He does receive your praise. It's not about you. It's never been about you. Do you understand that? It's never been about you. Because if it was about you, it would be pointless for you to praise. But it's not about you. It's about God. It's about His Son. It's about His love. And because of that, I praise Him. Because of that, I go to Shechem, where He can elevate me to a ridge that I can't walk on. It's a refuge, a place I can run from the avenger. Listen, the enemy's chasing some of you down. Yeah, Sunday, it's all shout the shoes off. I know. Come on now, I know. I know what it's like. I know what it's like. Sunday, it's put on Sunday's best. Put on the tie. Come on. It's clap them hands, everybody. Let's rejoice in the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house. And some of you are like saying it with a smile, you know, but inside you're like, inside you're all hurting. Inside you're broken apart. But you're putting on the front. Come on, Pentecostal people. I know you know what I'm talking about. I'm not the only person that puts on fronts in this building. I know that I'm not. I know that you are just as guilty as I am. I'm glad to be here, but really in your heart, you're like, oh my gosh, another service. Come on. We have these moments, don't we? We're not exactly elevated in our minds, elevated in our hearts, but that's why God made a city of refuge called Shechem, which literally means a ridge that elevates, because some of you need to visit this place because God has ridges to walk on for you. I like Shechem. I usually visit there often as a pastor, because as a pastor, I deal with a lot of stuff. I deal with people and their issues that they struggle with. Don't think for one second I don't take those things to heart and it wear on me. It does. I deal with the person who doesn't come and ask for help and worries me even more. I deal with the person who has nothing better to do but then talk bad about me, who worries about other people. That was free right there. I didn't charge you for that at all. I deal with all that. I deal with the criticizers, the manipulizers, the hypocrisers. Okay, that's my own word. I deal with all of them as a pastor, and so every now and then I've got to visit Shechem because I need to get on a ridge that I can't walk on. And I know some of you need to get on a ridge that you can't walk on. And Shechem is a refuge place where the enemy is breathing down my neck. And yes, I deserve what the enemy wants to give me. Yes, I am guilty of an offense to God, but I've got great news. Grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. And I've got Shechem that I can walk on. The third city is Kirjathbar. I said it right this time. Kirjathbar. It's the city of the four giants. I like this city. You ever feel like what your failure is too big for you? You ever feel like your mistake is eating you alive? You ever feel like your past is messing up your present? You ever feel like your future is bleak because you can't see past your nose? Then you need Kirjathbar. Because it's not just a city, but it has within it an element of protection. When you have made mistakes and the giant of your mistake seems so big, Kirjathbar is your place. Because this place has four giants. And the God has set up the four giants to be a protection from the one giant that's breathing down your neck. The one giant that's trying to destroy you, trying to kill you, trying to stop you. But don't worry, Kirjathbar is not far away. It's in the arms of the Lord. And when you go to Kirjathbar, you'll find that there's protection in the arms of the Almighty. Oh, I love the scripture that says, when the righteous man will fall seven times, and he'll get back up again. What that tells me is that a righteous man is not defined by his failures, but he's defined by the fact that when he falls, he gets back up. That's a righteous man. Well, you've made mistakes. You've failed God. You horrible person, the devil might say. How dare you go to church and act all holy when you're really not? Well, let's go back down here to Sanctum, amen? We need to go back to Sanctum when he talks like that. We need to go back down there to these places. But no, we're here right now in this Kirjathbar, because when you feel like you can't overcome what you're facing, that's okay. God's got bigger giants than you're facing right now. God has got bigger power, more power. The Bible says that no temptation has taken you such as common to man. He's also said out of every one of them, he's made a way. That's because he's bigger than your temptations. That's because he's bigger than your failures. Listen, you're serving God right now and you've made mistakes. You're not, you listen, the devil's trying to tell you you're worthless in the kingdom of God. He's a liar. Look at your neighbor and tell him he's a liar. God didn't save you because you were a perfect person. Just perfect. I'm going to save you. You're perfect. I hate to break the news to you. You are not perfect. I am not perfect. But God has prepared Kirjathbar for those people who feel like they cannot overcome, because our God is stronger. He is more powerful. Oh, he's got the power that he can take care of all of it. The Bible says that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee shall, because he's got the power. Do you understand what I'm talking about? The Bible says that he upholds all things. You understand those words? All, he upholds all things by the word of his power. power, because God is bigger than your mistake. He is not consumed in your failures, in your hardships, in your shortcomings, but he's a God that's got more grace. He's a God that's got new mercies every morning. He's a God that's got provisions that you need. You need to visit Kedjethabar if you think you've done too much. My personal favorite city is Bezer. It's in the wilderness of Reuben. I like the fact that it's in the wilderness of Reuben. I could preach about that. I could preach on Bezer just all by myself right here all day long. Because it literally means inaccessible spot. Don't you like the spots you can go that the devil can't go? Inaccessible spot. Some of you need that place because you've been depressed so bad. You need an inaccessible spot. And the devil's been telling you you wouldn't be depressed right now if you were a real Christian. I'm preaching to somebody this morning. Bezer is this place that the enemy can't come to. It's inaccessible to the blood avenger. It's inaccessible for those people hiding out. My Bible says that I can run to the hills from whence cometh my help, that my God can hide me in the pavilion of his glory. I can be in him and he protects me. He keeps me. And I love Bezer because when the enemy's breathing down my neck and I go to Bezer, he can't come there. Hallelujah. He can't stop me and he can't destroy me when I go to Bezer. I need Bezer. I need to be inaccessible at some time. Sometimes I turn my phone off purposely. I'm sorry. You say, well, I really need to get a hold of you. Tough luck. Pray through. There's some times this preacher's got to be inaccessible. Unfortunately, I visit Bezer pretty often because I need Bezer. I need an inaccessible place that the enemy can't get to, that I can't hear another story, that I can't hear another discouraging thing, that I can't put up with another demonic attack, or I can't hear another person saying, well, this person said, or that person said. I need a Bezer when I get to, so that no one, I can't hear the consuming words of the enemy who's breathing out threatenings, who's trying to destroy. And I go to Bezer because the gossip gets hot and the criticism gets hard. And I go to Bezer when people are talking bad or saying it's worthless or pointless. I go to Bezer when people say he's not really serving God like he's supposed to. And I go to Bezer because the enemy cannot come in that spot that belongs to me and him. It's a refuge. It's a refuge that I can run to. And I need Bezer just like you need Bezer. Wait a minute, what about Ramoth and Gilead? I like Ramoth. Ramoth is a plural word. It actually means heights. Heights. You love it when the Lord lifts us up. You should come to church to be lifted up. Sometimes the lifting up can be difficult because to lift us up means some things can't go. Some of you are too heavy with the world to fly. Ramoth and Gilead is specifically for those people looking for a refuge lifts that takes us higher. Oh, come on now. Don't act like you're never low. Don't act like you're never needing new heights. Don't act like you don't fight the same devil I fight. Because all of us do. We need these heights in God. We need to be able to soar like eagles. Mount up with wings like eagles and soar. We need to have that. You remember the Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall mount up with wings of eagles and shall soar. We need these heights. It's God giving us a way of escape. Listen, you might be in some serious mess in your life and you just need a good escape. Ramoth, God has prepared Ramoth for those people that need an escape. Now listen, I know I'm preaching about a physical city in Israel, but I'm preaching spiritually right now to us today, because some of us need that spiritual climax, that spiritual move to a new height. And somehow, some way, God needs to get you there. Have you ever come to church and you were low, but somehow there came a praise out of you that you don't know where it came from? That's because somehow you made it to Ramoth. Somehow you found new heights. Somehow you've discovered something that you've never knew existed. We need Ramoth. When you feel low, when you feel depressed, when you're eat up by your mistakes, Ramoth is the place to go. Brother Ryan Sutton put it this way. He said, praise, don't panic. Ramoth. When I am needing God the most, that's when I praise him the most. Because that's where Ramoth is. Ramoth is the place to go when you're needing to be lifted up. When you're needing God to bring you to new heights that you have not been. Some of you walking in that valley low and been walking there a long time. You're just used to the valley. You're used to where it is. You're used to the dryness. You're used to the feeling of the attack. And you're just kind of moving on and going on with it and saying, well, I guess this is my lot in life. And I guess this is what I've got. I guess this is where I'm supposed to be. And you've even lost all hope that Ramoth even could exist in your life. And yet Ramoth does exist. And yet Ramoth is a place, and a lot of Christians go there. Matter of fact, we ought to go there all the time. We need a place where we can praise God despite what we're feeling, despite where we've been or how bad we've been. Notice this, that every one of these cities is a place for a guilty man to go. Oh man, that's great news. That's great news. It's a place for a guilty man to go. Maybe you feel guilty. Maybe you feel depressed. Maybe you are beaten on yourself. Yeah, you know, sometimes the devil ain't got to do much to Christians. He just got to get them to make a mistake, and then they'll do the beating themselves. Come on. I know you've probably seen on the Discovery Channel those people beating themselves with their own whips. They beat themselves, and they're saying they're doing it for the things of God. They're afflicting their flesh for the glory of God. You've seen some of these crazy people literally nailing themselves to crosses. Why do I need that? I'm just going to go to Ramoth. I don't need to afflict myself any more than I've already got, man. The devil's doing a real good job all on his own. He don't need my negativity. He don't need your negativity. Oh, here, I'm getting ready to preach to you. Listen, righteous person that seeth all things in everyone else's life, that knoweth all things about everybody else, that loveth to kicketh a man that downeth. This is in the book of Bruce chapter 2, verse 1. We don't need people kicking us when we're down. How many times have I said it, and I'll keep saying it? Christians are the only people I know that are cannibals. They will eat their own. They will purposely eat their own because it makes them feel more satisfied about them. Come on. It's the truth. Whether it's liked or not, it is the truth. And I have seen Christians stumble, and I have seen them make mistakes. And instead of a Christian coming down there and picking them up, they're content just to talk about them. Serious. There's some scriptures about you. Let me give you two of them. One, there's the Good Samaritan. You're like the person that walks around the beat up person. You're the person who looks at him and says, well, if you would have obeyed, you wouldn't be there. Jesus is the person that binds the wounds. He's the person that picks them up. Which person are you? Listen, that's good, solid, Holy Ghost preaching, whether it was liked or not. Amen? That's good gospel preaching. Here's another scripture for you. Let's get the big beam out of your eye so that we can control the splinters in other people's eyes. Come on. I can tell you right now, I'm not going to have a blind man pulling splinters out of my life. Splinters hurt enough, but if you're blind, you might be poking on stuff you don't even know about. And I don't need people that ain't got a good vision of where I'm at to not take me to the right place. Listen, if you want to take me to Ramoth, take me there. If you want to take me to Kajethabah, take me there. If you want to take me to Bezer, take me there. But for heaven's sakes alive, don't beat me when I'm down. What about Golan? Golan's in Bashan. It literally means captive. Captive. Don't you like it when you're captive in the right place? Some people get put in jail just because they need protection from the people that are hunting them down, right? Don't you like to be captive when you're in the right place? My Bible says that Jesus Christ has taken captivity captive. He's locked up all the junk that has been messing you up. I like that about our God. And I like Golan because Golan is a place that you need to go when you need to literally feel like God's arms are surrounding you of protection. Where you feel locked up in God and the enemy can't pry you out. You remember what the devil said to God about Job. He said, why don't you unlock the hedges and then I'll know he'll curse you. Because Job was a person who practiced and believed in Golan, that God had got him captive. Oh, how some of us need to be in Golan this morning. Some of you need to be there because you've been fighting the enemy all week long and you're ready to give up and you're ready to stop and you're ready to quit and you're saying, I can't do anymore. Some of you are to nothing more than a small crawl on the ground moving forward, and that's all you got to just even make little moments, little movements of crawling. You can't walk anymore. The devil's beat you down so much. Christians have beat you down so much. Other believers, other churches have beat you down so much, and you've been hurt, you've been wounded, and you need to feel Golan in your life this morning. Praise God for the cities of refuge, that when I am guilty, I can run.